This is the Zodiac Degrees podcast. I'm Greta Lee. Today, the degree that I'm looking at is Aquarius 20, the 20th degree of Aquarius. And the occasion for looking at it is the August 11th, 2022 full moon in Aquarius at 19 degrees, 21 minutes of Aquarius, which in ordinal numbers is the 20th degree. Now, what I do with this podcast is I look at many different sources at the imagery and symbolism that is correlated with this degree of the zodiac. And so this can be applied to this full moon, but also if you have this moon or sun or a planet activating this degree in your chart or an angle or in your natal chart, in a horary chart, in a electional chart, if you're looking at mundane patterns in astrology, all sorts of things. So I hope that this kind of has a deep dive for many uses. And if you're, you know, neck deep into astrology. Okay, so the astrolabium planum, the wood print image in the 1488 version, it's a woman who is hunched over and leaning on like a walking stick. And she's got, it looks like it's like one of those medieval like fabric-y hats. It almost looks like a head bandage. So it's that stuff that like ties around your neck and sort of just like holds all your, it's almost like this like do-rag, this like medieval do-rag is what they look like to me. But a lot of, you know, you see a lot of women in images wear it. Also it seems like she's old and or tired. It feels almost like the head gear almost seems like a bandage stuff. I mean, I guess like a do-rag does like sort of like protect your hair. If like, you know, if you have like product in it or whatever you're, you know, doing for your hair, letting it grow, or if you have like some hair issue, or like scalp issue, it'll help, you know, alleviate that. So it does have that sort of element. So the John Angelus William Lilly translation says, in the 20 degree, a decrepit woman leaning on a staff, a weak, feeble person, it signifies. Okay, so she's decrepit. Okay, so yeah, it gets a sense she has like extra protection on her head, like the hair headdo thing, whatever she's wearing. Is, you know, she's old, her hair's probably falling out, she's hunched over, just going on a simple walk. So, I mean, this is the first degree of the third decan of Aquarius, or I guess it depends, it's like right on the cusp, I suppose. It's getting towards the end of Aquarius, so a Saturn-ruled sign. Saturn rules old age, infirmity, difficulties, limitations, you know, physical limitations, bodily limitations. So you're starting to get to this like reality check, humbling part of the Saturn cycle that has gone through all this, the whole cycle, but gone through, Capricorn and Aquarius. And, you know, Saturn is, really close by to this full moon that I'm talking about. And man, it does feel like it has been a slog since Saturn went into Capricorn. It's been kind of some exhausting years. So I can relate to this woman, hobbling tiredly with her stick. All right, let's look at the Dr. Mark Edmund Jones, the Sabian symbols in astrology. It says, a big white dove, a message bearer. And his interpretation of this is a symbol of man's recognition of a transcendental or superior wisdom, inspiration and assurance, inner faith and self-strengthening, ever-constructive attitude of the mind. There are always secret signs of divine favor for a faithful heart. They are there are no less real because the reason is able to dismiss them as an oversensitive or a naive insight. Right. So then the key word says conviction. I love this idea of this conviction and thinking of this old woman, like, you know, having a belabored walk, but she's still doing this, right? She's still walking. She's still getting somewhere. And she has sort of a purpose, inspiration, a reason. It's beyond reason, right? It's almost, could be still a naive kernel of hope, motivating her to keep going. That's how I'm connecting that image with the white dove. It says, Mark Edmund Jones says, positive elements of this degree is a facility for ordering all personal desires in a cosmic framework, and a gift for knowing when to act and what to do. And negative is sanctimonious self-deception. Wow. Okay. So you think you're going, the old woman thinks she's going on some mission, but it's just her delusion, right? I guess that I think Saturnian people, especially in a fixed sign, can be stubborn and thinking they're right. And even if they're very much not. But I also am thinking of Aquarius as an air sign and this dove, this bird, right, of flight. And this almost has this contrast that I guess we've been really feeling with the square between Aquarius, Saturn Aquarius, and Uranus in Taurus, but this sort of this struggle or this conflict of attempting to have ideals over matter or hope or thoughts or ideals over the physical realities and the conflict that when that works, when that doesn't. All right. Okay, let's go to Dane Rudyar in The Astrology of Personality. And he says, white dove circles overhead, descends bearing a message. And it says, the blessing of every effort by the Holy Ghost of revealed significance, exaltation of all individual efforts, celebrity. Well, this is bringing it in a new direction with this Holy Ghost, right? With this very sort of Christian, they have the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I'm sure people have made like astrological analogies between this Trinity, but this Holy Ghost would definitely be this ethereal blessing, this air blessing, like a lightness of being, a lightness of the blessing, and an exaltation of all individual efforts. So here's this woman, she's trying so hard, it's even hard for her to walk, but there's a blessing to this effort. And this idea of celebrity, I mean, that almost is making me think of sort of a Wizard of Oz situation where there's the ethereal projection of the ideal of the wizard, right, with the big, powerful head, but you pull back the curtain and he's just an old man. He's just like a normal physical being, just like us. And I'm almost picturing this old woman being like, you know, I could picture her head thing being like, what do you call it? Like a plastic surgery bandages or something. And she's gotten all the injections and she's actually sort of a horror show up close. But when she gets all the band-aids off and puts on all the makeup, she's an ethereal being of beauty, but don't look too close. Cause, when that plastic starts toxifying in however many years, it might like be eating away at her face or something. Or who knows what happens with all these injections. You know, everyone looks like Joan Rivers after a while, maybe, I don't know. Okay, Dane Rudyar later, and it's an astrological mandala, the cycle of transformation and its 360 symbolic phases. So when he returns to the Sabian symbols and elaborates, He says, a large white dove bearing a message. And the keynote here is the answer of spiritual agencies to thorough, sustained, and victorious individual efforts. That's nice. It says the individual who has courageously and with indomitable spirit through his crucial crisis receives, as it were, a deep spiritual blessing from the soul realm. Mission accomplished. Peace be with you. Oh, that's nice. It's like you've been battered by your journey, and then you get the sort of like the karmic, you know, the karmic, you know, report card or your little like receipt for all your struggles, or that it was this little message that says it was worth it. Don't worry. Like you made a difference. It says, and in this blessing, a secret prophecy of what is yet to come may be seen by the perspicacious and spiritually sensitive mind of the recipient. Wow. The secret prophecy. This makes sense. Aquarius is like very much has this mind ethereal message, seen in the mind's eye rather than in physical reality, that Saturn ruled physical reality that is, will inevitably disappoint. And it also says every real spiritual step a man takes in his development is the result of a victory over forces of inertia or destruction. The divine is totally present in the heart of all true victories. It's true. I like that. It's that sort of like inspirational thought of like, you're either living or you're dying, right? And like, you could be, you know, 100 years old and it takes a lot of effort to go walk to, you know, the sidewalk, right? Pick up the newspaper, but you did it. You lived that. You had that moment. And that's these little victories and you're still that's still like find the victories where you can find them, you know, even if you're really beat up and you feel like life has taken its toll. This is such a Saturnian message, but it is hopeful. It's like this hopeful edge of Saturn. It says what the message is depends on the particular situation, but the white dove always signifies peace. At the very heart of this piece is a certification of individual worth and victory. I love that. I always feel like Aquarius has a sort of like systems, bureaucracy, organizational element. So this certification of individual worth according to some idea system or social system, And this piece of this, like, you are playing like a cooperative part in whatever your small victory is. Other people can recognize that. So this is quite lovely. This might not always be relevant in every chart, but for the, August, full moon in 2022, this full moon is very close to Saturn, and so there is this heaviness to that full moon, but a kernel of lightness, a ray of light, of just an element of like ethereal victory. Okay, Linda Hill, the Sabian symbols as an oracle, a large white dove bearing a message. So I love this message thing again. And just thinking of this message, this isn't a Mercury ruled sign. This is a Saturn ruled sign. So it almost seems like a message that's a little bit more important or has more power or gravitas, even if it's just, you know, as light as a bird in a sense. And says a message of peace and love, a symbol of innocence, gentleness, and affection. In art and scriptures, it is the typical symbol of the Holy Ghost. And I feel like there's so much to go into as far as like theology with there's just so much like vocabulary. This is what like scholars just in Europe would debate about in, you know, the late Middle Ages, even to like early modern times. You know, holy wars have been fought over these definitions of the Holy Ghost and the sacraments and all this biblical stuff. I'm not so versed in that, but I do think that it's kind of can be like a really beautiful, interesting sort of thought exercise to think about what that means. And I think that a lot, you know, there's a lot of really horrible Christians in America, but I think some of this theology, I think, can be just as enlightening or interesting or thought-provoking or inspiring as any, you know, at any religion. Like, you know, sometimes people will go and get in deep into this mechanics of Greek mythology, the mechanics of Buddhism, and they find it inspirational, and they kind of poo-poo or dismiss the mechanics of Christian theology because it's just, there's just too many bad associations, and I get that. But I think that the most mystic, far out elements of all of these religions, I think, are really just delicious food for thought, as long as it's not bringing you to traumatic, like, spiral down of like bad memories. So, you know, whatever. If you don't want to do it, I that's cool. Don't do it. Okay, so Linda Hill says, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Ghost descended in the shape of a dove above him. And I'm trying to think of, there's some beautiful like Italian Renaissance imagery. So I just pulled up the one I was thinking of. It's a Piero della Francesca. And it's just a gorgeous painting, a Renaissance painting of Jesus being baptized and a dove just flying straight over his head. It's just so crisp, bright. The geometry is beautiful. There's just so many beautiful elements of this painting. And I think that that moment, there's just so many beautiful, I'm thinking of Italian Renaissance paintings, but I think all throughout Europe, there's so many beautiful paintings that have that dove symbolism in it. And it's, I feel like it's something I could just be pulling up, master paintings endlessly. I mean, I think there's also a lot of sort of like 20th century schlock that is not very inspirational, but like looking at a Giotto just thinking of some other I think this Peruvian painting I'll bring up later. Okay, but to return back to so the Holy Ghost descended over Jesus as he was being baptized. It also symbolizes the soul, and as such is sometimes represented coming out of the mouth of saints at death. I'm thinking of Jodorowsky movies, I think it's in The Holy Mountain or one of those movies where he has scenes of kids being gunned down in the street for like protesting. And birds, like live birds, leaving their mouth. And it's just so beautiful. So, you know, birds are just the kind of easiest little symbol, most of inspiration. I'm also thinking of, Linda Hill doesn't bring this up, but, there's the god, I think it's a god, it's not a god, it's a concept, Ba, in ancient Egyptian religion, which is the principal aspect of the soul. So this isn't just like some Christian thing, right? Because Jodorowsky, I think that he had like complex influences, but he is very much like a Catholic dominant imagery artist. But there's images of like a mummy laying there, and for ancient Egyptian imagery, and a bird, like an eagle, flying right above the mummy with a man's head. And that is expressing the soul leaving the body after death, right? I mean, even if you think of like Looney Tunes or something, like old cartoons. They would have, you know, maybe like a cat would die, and then a little winged version of the cat, like the angel, would leave the body and fly away. That idea of the indestructible soul, the indestructible spirit. And here we have this image of this old woman, but she has an indestructible spirit. It would be a really great other project to kind of just find examples of artwork from lots of different cultures that brought in this idea of the bird, and to see different, you know, iterations, not to just equate all of the cultures together, but to see different like flavors of this idea, throughout, you know, humanity and, different cultures. So returning to Linda Hill, these doves are symbols of inspiration and divine guidance. They can represent the peace of a departed soul, especially if they are shown bearing an olive branch. One more diversion or distraction. I was just thinking of a friend of mine who he came from a large Irish family, and they would all sort of like pick a bird like throughout their family, especially the older people. They would say, hey, I might die, you know, at any time, you know, maybe I'm 45 or something, whatever, but I might die at any time. And when I go, every time you see this bird, think of me. So like, oh, I'm a cardinal. And then someone else will be like, okay, every time you see a blue jay, think of me, I'm the blue jay. And it's kind of this belief in, you know, this immortal spirit or reincarnation of some sort. Or it's just like a fun little exercise of this is my memory bird. And the grandpa of the family was just always kind of like grumbling, being like, ugh, like, this is like, what a fruity idea. And like, wouldn't say anything, right? Then one day all the family was gathering and they were having breakfast. It was, you know, some holiday or something. And it was kind of this lull in the conversation. And out of nowhere, he goes, I'm a chickadee. And they're like, what? And he's like, well, when I go, you see a chickadee, I'm a chickadee. Which I think is like the cutest little bird but even that, just that idea of this gruff old man, just like this old woman in the image, just still having a little like spirit of a bird, you know, all of us have that like lightness. Okay, returning to Linda Hill again. So, likewise, the caged dove signifies the human soul yet imprisoned in flesh and held captive during this period of mortal life. And this can be a message of peace because a dove brought to Noah a bough of an olive tree, as a sign that the deluge of wrath unleashed by the flood was at the end. Right. I mean, that's the first story I think of with the dove. You know, the Noah on the boat, he sees a rainbow, the dove comes. Like our troubles are over, right? We had such a harrowing journey, but this is our first little taste of peace. It says doves are said to be able to perform miracles with their messages. Mahomet's miracle from the Quran, a white dove whispered in Mahomet's ear a message from God. So, you know, so many different religious traditions have doves as peaceful, beautiful messengers. So the advice is to resolve your situation by relying on peaceful messages that come from either outside or inside yourself. A message is likely on the way, one that you have been waiting for some time. This message can reassure your spiritual center and is likely offered with gentleness and without malice. Someone is likely to say something or reveal something that can change the whole situation around. It can be that this message is not really an easy one to deliver. It will, however, probably solve some issue or problem, or may cause you to have to face something you'd rather not. The large white dove can be quietly reassuring that everything's going to be okay. Miracles are known to happen, so it's best to hold to positive outcomes. Listen intently for messages around you in one way or another. So this symbolizes being seen as a savior or someone who needs saving, healing rifts between people with promises of improvements, faith, and trust that will uplift the spirit. blessings delivered, all will be well. Celebration, someone who brings blessed relief to situations. Issues of hope and salvation, covenant, news, and announcements. The caution here is staying with the assumption that things will never improve, refusing solace, shooting the messenger, not trusting the good things in life, not being content with the message that's relayed, and an insincere message because of the pain of facing the real truth. And Linda Hill always has some great quotes that go along with each degree image. So I just chose a few. One is, our soul is escaped as a bird from the snare of the hunters. The snare is broken and we are delivered. That comes from the Catholic Encyclopedia. Here's another one that says, hold fast to dreams, for if dreams dies, life is a broken winged bird that cannot fly. That's Langston Hughes. Also, lift me like an olive branch, be my homeward dove, which is a Leonard Cohen lyric. And a secret is like a dove. When it leaves my hand, it takes wing. Saudi Arabian proverb. I like that idea of the message. A secret can be a message. Charitable. The degrees of the zodiac symbolized. And this is a man playing violin. And it denotes a musician of no mean order, a brilliant violinist with musical ability. Just thinking of, like, I'm just picturing, like, a man playing violin with, like, a bird hovering over it or something. Like, so, when you listen to someone so talented at a instrument, it's like, it's this air quality of Aquarius, right? Of this, it's ethereal and you sort of, it lifts your spirits, right? That the, all these air words with music. Safariel. A great tortoise. Okay, the great tortoise makes me think of this old woman again. It says, one of patient and plodding disposition, disposed to rusticity of habit, endowed with great powers of endurance, an even disposition and contented mind. His position in life will always be secure, owing to great presence and providence. He will create about him by slow and patient toil the means of his security from all harm, of rather solitary and retired nature, deeply philosophical, patient, contented with simple ways of living, will evince a kindly disposition, will live long to enjoy the fruits of his labors and esteem of his fellows. It is a degree of providence. Cool. Okay. Isidore Kosminski, Zodiacal Symbology and Its Planetary Power. A quaint old chest standing in an old hall, a large key on the floor before it. Around are pieces of armor and an old instruments of music. On the top of the chest is a dog asleep. It says, denotes one of a somewhat conservative nature, thoughtful, studious, serious, by whom the training of the mind is placed before all else, and whose soul is set on works of cultivation. He may show special genius in some section of art or music, or he may be in a position to advance them. He is a seeker after truth, and the key is near for him to use when the guardian has slumbered. Skillfulness. The skills seeming like this mercurial, like, message-oriented thing, but still this stamina that has to do with Saturn. It's not a fleeting skill or a fleeting idea. It's like a work of cultivation that takes a long time. Okay, Helene and Willem Capion. A man dressed like a French deputy of the third class during the French Revolution is holding out a proclamation headed in capitals, the rights of man. At the right, one sees a preacher giving a sermon from his pulpit. Okay, one of their sort of crowded, like, tableaus of lots of things going on in this copy on images says, an exceptional Aquarius degree. The left side gives the essence of Aquarius, liberty, equality, fraternity. And the second part is this person also wants to bear witness to the truth. This degree rising means they are often under protection of unseen forces. In other words, protected by guardian angels. or ruled by Uranus, intuition, which I do. I mean, I go for the traditional rulers, but I do like noting that in like the modern rulership scheme, Uranus rules Aquarius as another little like flavor, you know? So they're bringing that up and says they receive help and give it out. At the beginning of their life, there may be struggles and great trouble. It is an effort to give form to their intuitions and revelations. They want to give humanity the benefit of what they see so clearly. They wish to make it useful for society at large, but they have to undergo a period of unpopularity at first. There is a time of little credit and goodwill, which needs to be accepted as a period of growth, from which he will derive transmuting energies. The Scorpio Aquarius square is this transmuting energy. And they must acquire deliberate courage first, which is this Leo fixed axis energy, which can then manifest spontaneously as a gift from heaven. On a high level of awareness, these people consciously live by the grace of God. They are honest and truthful folk who further the ideas of a free and new Aquarian age. The more mature they become, the better they are to take a high position in their community and to be a living example of what they preach. They are hard workers, have an eye for detail, have a deeply religious background, perseverance, and patience. They are examples of professional integrity. They work for equal rights. Their Aquarian zeal may be very utopian. Humanity's happiness on this planet is more than just material. They will accept martyrdom for their ideas. They help the poor and the sick and the fallen, and they show heartfelt devotion and forethought. But when unawakened to their higher self, they are fanatical and political rascals who preach revolution and destruction. Then the heads of political opponents and enemies will roll, as they do not hesitate to use their great influence and power of suggestion to blackmail others in the name of their truth, which is nothing more than mere self-importance. Yeah, I feel like there's always any Saturn rule sign, there's like an edge of punitiveness, of abuse of power, of or just this power dynamics that are unjust. They may protect and help social parasites and layabouts. With wrong friends, they lose their intuition for right spiritual direction. They become fanatics and eccentrics that others avoid. However, as the second image shows, the message can still reach them for the renewal of their spiritual vision. On the highest level, they are fighters for the kingdom of the heaven of earth and embodies in the human being. For this, they are given a long life, honor, success, and material security. Right. So this just seems like a really positive image, but they, you know, bring up some parts of the shadow or some of the catch, the places that could be tricky. Okay, the second image is a white dove circles overhead and descends, bearing a message. Okay, Capion always does the saving symbol for its second image. It says, a biblical symbol of Holy Spirit, prophetic and visionary symbolism, a symbol of blessing, as in the story of Noah and the Ark, pure and unselfish efforts, purity. By circling the air, it purifies it. The will of God, spirit spiraling to the people in the white light of absolute immaculate energy, by which people are freed to celebrate the divine presence within. People with this degree are messengers of hope and holiness. Okay, moving on to Adriano Corelli, the 360 degrees of the zodiac. And the symbol here is Hermes invents the zither. And it says, the god of wisdom built the first stringed instruments by fitting two horns to a turtle shell, thus making up the resonator. So this zither, just thinking of this messenger god, I mean, the god of wisdom, right? But also the messenger god with the winged feet, just picturing the doves on his feet. And then that turtle shell, which we saw in the sepharial image of the slow and steady turtle, and this musical resonance that that has sort of permeated all the interpretations. And I was also thinking of the idea, the turtle dove specifically. I know there's different types of doves, and most of the images are specifying a white dove, but there's also like the mourning dove, which have beautiful, you know, beautiful songs that they sing, little sad songs. But the turtle dove, and I looked that up, and it's actually not, it's identical spelling to the animal turtle, but the turtle is actually originally from Latin, and it's an onomatopoeia or onomatopoetic representation of the bird song. So that turtle, you could kind of picture that sort of gentle clucking of that dove, the turtle. So that's what the turtle dove is, just that sounds like the name, that the sound that they make. So this degree denotes skill in art, in particular music or especially stringed instruments, or talent in industry, medicine, or science at large. They have an everyday philosophy, much fondness of work, a great handiness, a patience apt to stand the stiffest tests, and an even excessive prudence. Saturnian there. The native treads with leaden feet like a tortoise, but what is done accurately needs be done but once. He's fenced in by nearly hermetic reserved. He enjoys his neighbor's esteem, though he holds aloof from them, perhaps engrossed in planning future welfare. He seems unaware of the outside world. The astrological picture in its entirety will say if such a prudence will sink into cunning or sublime into noble equanimity. Barring pointers to the contrary, the life will be exceptionally long. Just one person, I think it was a son here, Olivia de Havilland, or she has a significant planet. She lived 104, but we could look more into when I get to the section of people with their charts with this degree activated. The native face is liable to appear precociously lined and shrunken, but is the diehard physique is likely to lack real ruggedness. Okay, so they age in their face, but their body isn't necessarily at that age. It's interesting. I mean, the sort of Aquarian thing of, or Saturn ruled thing of appearing older before your time, or coming off as older, maybe. Interesting. But then also that like sort of plastic surgery thing I was kind of pontificating about earlier. It might be like an element here. Anyway, Gerald L. Keane, Practical Astrology, says design denotes one who is interested in shapes and forms of both things and events, designs and materials, patterns made by the currents in space, patterns formed by people, people's lives as they move over the planet. This is their work and life. Okay, that's general. E.C. Matthews says exaltation, a person who can accomplish anything he undertakes, favors the arts as well as research works. We also have Donna Walter Henson, brings one in touch with the leaders of his time, one who can accomplish almost anything he undertakes, favors the arts as well as research work or medical fields, has a musical ability, a degree of eminence and exaltation, gives an ungovernable temper, malevolence and destructiveness, finds it comparatively easy to become well known in whatever field he is engaged. And a medical astrology applies to the spine and the nervous system of the spinal cord. Thinking of the posture of the old lady with that spine, and the sort of air quality of Aquarius, of being upright and looking forward up and out versus being hunched over and having a weak spine. Okay, Esther Leinbach. The natives of this degree may go through the fires of hell, but they will rise up and walk away like the phoenix rising out of its own ashes. Just as they are about to go under, a friend comes to the rescue, or Providence intervenes to provide a lifeline. There is a fantastic regenerative ability, which is often untested. Faith is the key to their survival. They are unusual, intellectual, and intuitive abilities that are coupled with the arts. Abilities as an accountant or a statistical researcher are also pronounced. She radiates an aura of confidence, commanding respect without being overbearing. She may be feared by those that don't understand her message. The key to her real strength lies in intuitive insight. She goes to the heart of the matter, noting obvious truth. She may be very influential in presenting great wisdom in simple language so that everyone understands the message. A lack of self-confidence may hold him back, but never defeat him or her. She has a kind of like weird way of writing S. It's like S slash H. Like it's like she, her. I don't. It's like trying to be like gender neutral before they existed, or even though they did exist, but trying to make a point. I'm not sure. It's kind of an awkward attempt to be inclusive. So, yeah, going. So when I'm taking my notes, I oscillate between she and him because it's confusing. Anyway, Martin Goldsmith, the Zodiac Degrees. A luminous dove circles downwards and comes to light on the outstretched hands of a beautiful woman. The soul as that part of the personality that comes from God on high, channeling, attending to the message of the Holy Spirit in the still waters of the heart. Meditation and prayers designed to strengthen the bond between man and God, nurturing one's spiritual side versus betraying it for money, power, or fame, seeing the lovable design side of others, poor choices in marriage, routinely overestimating others, becoming someone's adorable pet, gentle kindness that translates into adorability, translating divine love into humane political institutions, utopianism, hope, the promise of things to come, bearing a message of love versus allowing disappointment and anger to harden one's heart, healing spiritual influences, clearing a space for the spiritual in one's everyday life. All right. John Sambach, the Chandra symbols, a fine silk thread strung across a chasm. So subtle connections, intuitive reaching out to others, overcoming of separation. Elias Lonsdale, a fine silk thread strung across a chasm. I like this lightness and image of barely there, sort of this like these fine silk thread of a sort of like connection. A very different image, but fits, seems like it fits somehow. Okay, Elias Lonsdale says, an inward intention counts for everything. Outward results do not matter. Someone who is dropped in remote places to be a subtle glue, a connecting intelligence just along the inside. Upon the outside, nothing happens. A tenuous sensibility stays tuned to subtle frequency with celestial dispassion, remarkably absent from the daily rough and tumble of what seems to go around you, indwelling in otherness, alienness, which consciousness has no idea what it is doing. When this person is around, other people find that there are blessings, breakthroughs, protections, and odd phenomenon. Touched by something marvelous and strange, being an empty vessel open for the cosmic. Elias Lonsdale, beautiful, poetic take on this, and it really resonates with the other interpretations. Gavin McClung, Hyperion Symbols, says, the Isle of Patmos. Even in the midst of a sea of chaotic confusion, there is a place of elevated prospect that can quietly assume a natural preeminence in the mind and give powerful guidance to self and to others. The keyword is overshadowing, a heightened sensitivity to which holds an importance far exceeding the mundane and lifts it into a framework of greatest relevancy. All right, and unfortunately, no hidden secret in the Address the Stars for Aquarius, for any degrees in Aquarius, because it's incomplete manuscript. And we have a fixed star nearby, but not on this exact degree. So the fixed star Castra is at the 21st degree of Aquarius. So that's definitely in a orb, but I'll save that for the next, for the episode where I do the 21st degree. All right, so I'm going to look through prominent charts that have a natal charts that of famous people, historical people, of all sorts. Some of these birth times might be wrong. I didn't, deep dive on each one of these, but if you have a planet at this degree, I feel like this is very helpful. And if there might be mistakes in here, so if you're really excited or interested in one of these, I would definitely check out the Rodin rating and look deeper into it. But as a gift or a service to everyone with these degrees, here are some people to look out for. The sun at the 20th degree of Aquarius. So on like 99% of charts is going to say Aquarius 19, right? Because I'm using ordinal numbers for the degrees. So just when you're, if you have the sun at Aquarius, the 20th degrees of Aquarius, if it says Aquarius 19. Anyway, okay. The sun in Aquarius is in detriment. So it's a opposite from Leo, but we have some interesting people. Evangeline Adams, one of the most interesting astrologers of all time. Chris Brennan did an episode on her. You totally should listen to that on the astrology podcast. She's a very interesting person to look into. Also, Dmitry Mendeleev, who also has the moon a degree before. He's the Russian genius that, in a dream, came up with the periodic table of elements. Of course, he was a scientist. It wasn't out of nowhere. But he kind of received this divine insight of a system that people had been trying to figure out, a system of how to organize all of the elements in science, and he came up with it. Brilliant, brilliant man. It wasn't just sort of this waking intellect. It also had a development of a divine message from a dream. Love this person as one of my favorite like charts and examples of history. It's a very strong Aquarian energy there. Also, Jack Lemmon has a son here who is one of my favorite actors of all time. He was in The Odd Couple. He's in The Apartment, which is probably my favorite movie that he's in, and a lot of great movies. And he has an interesting chart. He actually has Cancer, Pluto and Cancer right in the ascendant. So very like emotionally intense, but the sun in Aquarius, I think, can really work for actors because they can kind of be every man or every woman or every person types. A lot of people can kind of relate to them. And I think that sun in Aquarius works well. Also Lana Turner, actress, Nick Nolte, Seth Green, actor, Brooke Adams, who was in the movie Days of Heaven. Vince Neil has a son here who is the lead vocalist of Motley Crue. Gary Coleman, who is a child sitcom star. Mary Steenburgen, who is an actress in lots of movies and comedies, like in Will Ferrell comedies and stuff. You'd probably recognize her. Also, we have Gypsy Rose Lee, who was born in 1911, and it was a very famous burlesque dancer with a Sun-Venus conjunction. We also have Martin Buber, who's a Jewish theologian, and Emanuel Swedenborg, who wrote extravagant mystical writings. Okay, so the moon at the 20th degree of Aquarius. Now, the moon here is not in its detriment like a Capricorn moon, but a Saturn ruled moon is hard. I mean, it's definitely an interesting moon. A lot of, first of all, Marilyn Monroe had her moon here. So thinking about her body as being this Aquarian image of projection of desire and idealism of Aquarius, of her, you know, Playboy photos, her body in films. But she also emotionally had, a lot of sadness and loneliness. Also Eminem writes a lot of songs that are really kind of out of this disconnection, but has like a talent, a musical talent, as it said. Billy Bob Thornton, another really talented actor who plays a lot of sad characters. Gene Hackman. So a lot of great like performers here that can kind of, this Aquarian thing, this emotional, can kind of go everywhere, be detached, drop into any plot or film. Kelsey Grammer, right? Frasier, very cold and rational, but witty with that sort of air, snappiness, word-oriented character. We have Kai, who's a K-pop singer. Felipe, the Sixth of Spain. Sarah Hyland, who's an actress and a singer. More musical talent here. Mark Cuban, the billionaire. And Gottfried von Leibniz, who is a German polymath, active as a mathematician, philosopher, scientist, diplomat. One of the most prominent figures in history of philosophy, history of mathematics. Here we have someone who, in his moon place, his comfort was math, science, philosophy, big ideas, complex ideas. Also Juliana Margulies, who's an actress. And my favorite placement of this, there's a lot of good moon, Aquarius moon people here. A lot of performers I really like, but William Butler Yeats has his moon at this degree, the 20th degree of Aquarius. I am a huge Yeats fan, and I would like to read one of my favorite Yeats poems that I really feel like has the vibe of this degree, of this old woman who has gone a long way. And who has gone on a long journey and is sort of getting run down at the end of her journey. But this is called The Circus Animal's Desertion by William Butler Yeats. I sought a theme and sought for it in vain. I sought it daily for 6 weeks or so. Maybe at last, being but a broken man, I must be satisfied with my heart, although winter and summer till old age began, my circus animals were all on show. Those stilted boys, that burnished chariot, lion and woman, and Lord knows what. What can I but enumerate old themes? First, that sea rider Oisin, led by the nose, through three enchanted islands, allegorical dreams, vain gaiety, vain battle, vain repose, themes of the embittered heart, or so it seems, that might adorn old songs or courtly shows. But what cared I that set him on to ride? I, starved for the bosom of his fairy bride. And then a counter-truth filled out its play. The Countess Kathleen was the name I gave it. She, pity-crazed, had given her soul away. But masterful heaven had intervened to save it. I thought my dear must her own soul destroy. So did fanaticism and hate enslave it. And this brought forth a dream, and soon enough, this dream itself had all my thought and love. And when the fool and blind man stole the bread, Cuchulain fought the ungovernable sea. Heart mysteries there, and yet when all is said, it was the dream itself enchanted me. Character isolated by a deed to engross the present and dominate memory. Players and painted stage took all my love, and not those things that they were emblems of. Those masterful images, because complete, grew in pure mind, but out of what began? A mound of refuge, or the sweepings of a street, old kettles, old bottles, and a broken can, old iron, old bones, old rags, that raving slut who keeps the till. Now that my ladder's gone, I must lie down where all the ladders start, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. So this is just such a beautiful poem, so layered. Every time I read it, there's more to discover, so complex, deep depth, but lightness. And I think that just this idea of that he returns to several times with getting taken over by the dream, by these ideas, and looking to this play of life, the circus of life, and being more enamored with the idea of life rather than the true experience of it, right? You're looking at the circus version and you're sort of being mesmerized by that. And then when you look back to real life, what do you have? You know, just a couple broken bottles, broken items. Your material existence is frail and weak and will crumble and, you know, be destroyed, right? Anyway, beautiful, beautiful. Let's go back to people. Aquarius, the 20th degree of Aquarius, Mercury. So I feel like for this image that talking a lot about messengers, news, Mercury, I feel like does really well in Aquarius. So we have Oprah Winfrey. So huge, huge publisher, media personality, inspirational messages, right? Oprah Winfrey, moved from, I think she said she moved from, sensational reporting to inspirational reporting over the years. And sort of like a religious figure almost of sort of like a new age message. Also Millie Bobby Brown has her Mercury here. I'll be curious to see what she does with her voice, as she's put on a stage as in a very young age. Clark Gable, Janice Dickinson, the first supermodel, she wrote 3 books about it. No Lifeguard on Duty, Everything About Me is Fake and I'm Perfect, and Check Please, Dating, Mating, and Extricating. Okay, also we have Avon Jogia, the actor. We have Zhang Ziyi, who was in Ang Lee's, an actor in Ang Lee's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Was nominated, which was a huge successful, but also she was in, Rush Hour 2, House of the Flying Daggers, and her most critically acclaimed work in Memoirs of a Geisha. So, a hugely, successful actor there. Also Bryce Dallas Howard, actor in The Town, Ron Howard's daughter, Gioacchino Rossini, a 19th century composer, George Frederick Handel, a Baroque composer, Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky is very interesting, because he was the greatest hockey player of all time in a way that, there's kind of no parallel in any other sport. He was just so much better than everybody else. It's like for basketball, there's like Michael Jordan, but there's also LeBron James and other people that were really, really good. And Wayne Gretzky is just like far and beyond. And thinking of like ice skating has this sort of Saturnian way of flying, right? It's a very, very interesting, that his skill is in this Aquarian icy area. Also Mary the First of England, born in 1516, and, H.R. Geiger. Hans Rudi Geiger, a Swiss artist known for airbrush images that blended human physiques with machines, an art style known as biomechanicals. And so he was part of the special effects team that won for visual design of Ridley Scott's Alien in 1979. So he is actually like a hugely influential designer that is sort of working, sort of redefine science fiction. So I think that's such an Aquarian skill set, and his Mercury's in Aquarius. Also Leon Golub, who's a very prominent, good painter, and Thomas More had his Mercury here. And this is one of the most interesting examples too. So he was the author of Utopia. I was like looking to make sure my notes that I was, yeah, he wrote Utopia in 1516. And he was a Lord High Chancellor of England, and he was one of Henry VIII's advisors. And he is a lawyer, a judge, a philosopher. He's just like a brilliant polymath. And he was actually opposed to the Protestant Reformation. He was a devoted Catholic. And even though he wrote like this, he was a genius, and he wrote Utopia, and he Henry VIII had him executed because he wasn't loyal. And his quote is, "I die the king's good servant and God's first." So he was more devoted to his ideals than to political, you know, than to the political life or to life itself. Also Pope Pius the 11th, who was one of the popes, had his marker here. Okay. Venus. So we have Axl Rose, Venus Jupiter conjunction. I just feel like Axl Rose with Guns N' Roses, really just hugely successful. And like the there's like a part, just like we're looking at like Oprah Winfrey, Wayne Gretzky, and some of these people that are hugely, hugely successful with his art that really connects to lots of people, right? Guns N' Roses can fill stadiums, those Aquarian masses, right? So Venus-Jupiter conjunction for Axl Rose right at that degree. AJ Lee, who is a female professional wrestler. Also Marcy Olay, who's also a professional wrestler. I so rarely see female professional wrestlers. And then we have two of them for this degree for Venus. I thought that was quite interesting. Also Jack London, the author. Jair Bolsonaro, the 38th president of Brazil, was voted in January 1st, 2019. A lot of people compare him to Trump. I think he's kind of a big, bad, corrupt, powerful man. But I don't know the nuances of Brazilian politics to really articulate what he's like. Linda Blair has her Venus here, who played the little girl in the film The Exorcist. Also the actor John Thaw. Gypsy Rose Lee, who I mentioned before, who's a burlesque dancer, and Bernard Blier, who's a French character actor. Okay, moving on to Mars in Aquarius. So you have Josh Peck, who's an actor and a YouTuber. Josh Lucas, who's an actor. Rhea Sen, a Bollywood actress. We also have Charles Schulz, who is the creator of the comic strip Peanuts. So he's the creator of Charlie Brown and Snoopy, Woodstock, all those characters, the Peanuts characters. He is a hugely influential cartoonist. I mean, he started almost like a whole new field. Some of his influences are Jim Davis, Bill Watterson, who did Calvin and Hyde, and Calvin and Hobbes, Matt Groening, and Dave Pilkey. So here's a Bill Watterson quote, the Calvin and Hobbes guy. He says, "Peanuts pretty much defines the modern comic strip. So even now, it's hard to see it with fresh eyes. The clean, minimalist drawings, the sarcastic humor, the unflinching emotional honesty, the inner thoughts of a household pet, the serious treatment of children, the wild fantasies, the merchandising on an enormous scale. In countless ways, Schulz blazed the wide trail that most every cartoonist since had tried to follow." Love that insight. Also, just thinking of that message, the dove bringing the message, and just thinking of that newspaper. I mean, this isn't an experience that people have so much anymore, but that newspaper coming and getting that little message, getting your little cartoon strip, right? That little message from Charles Schulz on a daily basis. Okay. We also have Francois Rabelais, who was a, was born, 1483, was a French Renaissance writer, physician, humorist, scholar. Also, Shayna Mokler, a reality star and model person. Tom Green, the comedian. Kate Gosselin, another reality star, not really actress, but she's like a mother. And E.T.A. Hoffman, which is Ernst Theodor Amadeus Hoffman, who was a German romantic author of fantasy and gothic horror. So he was born in 1776. He wrote The Tales of Hoffman, and he was the author of the novella The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, which Tchaikovsky then wrote the ballet based on this novella. So that's very, very interesting. That's an interesting story, a very like a very evergreen story, every, you know, wheeled out every Christmas. Also, we have Giulio Andretti, who is a Italian prime minister in the 20th century, has Mars here. And Lola Montez, who was a born in 1821, who's an Irish dancer and actress who became a famous dancer in Spain, a courtesan, and was the mistress of King Ludwig I of Bavaria. So she, at the start of revolutions of 1848 in the German states, she fled, and then she became an entertainer and lecturer in the United States. It's really, really interesting. Okay. And then also Theodore Ecke, who was a senior SS functionary during the Nazi era and was one of the key figures in the development of Nazi concentration camps. If you want to see an extreme evil example of this degree, which I assure you, every degree has someone very evil. So if you have this in your chart, don't worry. There's really good, really evil people in every at every element, every degree of the zodiac. Right. Jupiter, Axl Rose, as I brought before, Alex Turner, who's in the band Arctic Monkeys, Irina Shayk, a Russian supermodel, Satha Sai Baba, an Indian guru, Deepika Padukone, a Bollywood actress, Zara Larsson, a Swedish pop star, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who's in the show Saved by the Bell, also Garth Brooks, another interesting, he shares a placement with Axl Rose, however different, but they're both sort of from the same era, roughly, and hugely popular, and but very, you know, very different genres. Also, Jupiter here, Eddie Izzard, a queer British stand-up. That Jupiter in Aquarius being like, I'm not afraid to be weird. You know, I'm not afraid to be different. I'm actually going to celebrate what makes me, you know, an individual, and then actually gets a lot of people a big following because of that sort of celebration of individuality, which everyone can relate to. Charlene Yee, a comedy person. Bam Bam, the singer, who's in a Thai rapper boy band singer. Ed Helms, who's the dorky guy in the Hangover movies. And oh, here's one of my favorite examples is Antonio Gramsci has his Jupiter here, who is, you know, the Italian Marxist philosopher famous for the prison notebooks. And he is best known for his theory of cultural hegemony. So I'll just read what, you know, what cultural hegemony is, if you're curious, if you don't, not already intimately familiar, which we all are, but it, so cultural hegemony describes how the state and ruling capitalist class, the bourgeoisie, use cultural institutions to maintain power in capitalist societies. The bourgeoisie, in Gramsci's view, develops a hegemonic culture using ideology rather than violence, economic force, or coercion. hegemonic culture propagates its own values and norms so that they become the common sense values of all and thus maintain the status quo. Cultural hegemony is therefore used to maintain consent to the capitalist order, rather than the use of force to maintain order. This cultural hegemony is produced and reproduced by the dominant class through the institutions that form the superstructure. So I think we can all recognize that this common sense that actually makes no sense, the dominant culture criticizing people that actually threaten their bottom line of economic political control. There's a lot. Yeah, I mean, I could get into it, but then I would start ranting. But Gramsci, great, great thinker, you know, quintessential Jupiter in Aquarius. Roger Corman also has Jupiter here, who was called the Pope of Pop Cinema and adapted lots of Edgar Allan Poe stories in the mid-20th century. Also, this person, Kim.com, who was born Kim Schmitz, also known as Kimball and Kim Tim Jim Vester, a German-Finnish internet entrepreneur and political activist who now resides in New Zealand. He first rose to fame in Germany in the 1990s as an internet entrepreneur and was convicted on charges of computer fraud in 1994. .com is the founder and former CEO of the now defunct file hosting service Mega Upload. The company was financially successful, but in 2012, the United States Department of Justice seized its website and pressed charges against .com, including criminal, copyright infringement, money laundering, racketeering, and wire fraud. Probably just seems like a very rich story about the internet age that's still playing out. You'd see someone brazenly, unapologetically going forward with their, you know, technology structures with the Jupiter and Aquarius. Okay, Saturn at the 20th degree of Aquarius. This is the rulership of Saturn. So one person we have here is, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Kaiulani. She was the queen of Hawaii. There's a film about this, like dramatizing her life, which is basically how I know the story. But she was the last heir apparent to the throne of the Hawaiian kingdom. She was educated in Europe, and they just, you know, they just they just took her kingdom away. You know, it's just completely to this day. Hawaii should be given back to Hawaiians. United States has no business being there, but they like having that little playing spot in the risk board for military structures, for the pineapple plantations. So that's kind of a sore spot there of colonialism and lack of sovereignty. Marie of Romania, who was the last queen of Romania, as a wife of King Ferdinand I. So another last ruler, thinking of that old woman going a long way, bringing her collective, bringing her people on a long journey and sort of being an end to that era of rulership, that this late Saturn feeling of an end of an era. Pablo Neruda has a Saturn here. Also Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino, thinking of him kind of like looking at this sort of era of B movies and of Hollywood movies. And he's sort of like, I feel like taking the best of putting it all together and presenting it, but sort of like, he's sort of a last of his kind of having a certain taste in cinema. Also Alejandro Gonzalez in Arutu, another brilliant filmmaker. He made Amores Perros, 21 Grams, Babel, Birdman, The Revenant. So another brilliant, also pretty dark, dark filmmaker. I guess Quentin Tarantino, I wouldn't say so dark, but very violent. But this guy in Iñárritu is more, you know, psychological. Also, we have Tori Amos, the singer. We have Ellie McPherson, John Stamos, Jessica Biels from Flashdance, Robert Oppenheimer, the scientist hugely responsible for the development of the nuclear bomb, changing the world and the power relations in the world forever. Also thinking of the nuclear bomb as this tiny little, you know, reaction of molecules of that and the power behind that, of that tiny little ethereal message, right? It can be very powerful. We've Aleister Crowley has his Saturn here. Lars Ulrich from Metallica. Govinda, a Bollywood actor. Xuxa, who's a Brazilian television host, film actress, who started her career as a children's television host and is known as Queen of the Little Ones. Also, William de Kooning, the abstract expressionist painter, who did not get recognition until quite late in life, that sort of Saturnian late bloomer. But then once he got, you know, now he's sort of immortalized and is one of the greats, right? But a long life of hard work to get to that point. Also, Giovanni Pico della Mirandola, who is an Italian Renaissance nobleman and philosopher, who was the founder of the tradition of the Christian Kabbalah and a key tenant of early modern Western esotericism. So a mystic writer. We also have Gaspar Noé, a filmmaker, Benjamin Bratt, the actor, Mohammed VI of Morocco, Will Poulter, the actor, Bill Russell, who had a Saturn North Node conjunction, who's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He's a 12-time NBA All-Star, won 11 NBA championships during a 13-year career. Also, George Segal, who's an actor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and some other films. Pietro Aretino, who's an Italian author, playwright, poet, satirist. Florence Henderson, the mom from the Brady Bunch. And Francois Bazin, an opera composer. Okay, Uranus, 20th degree of Aquarius. This is modern rulership for anyone who, you know, who's still not banished modern rulerships. I'll still give them a little credit. So we have a lot of 1916, 1917 babies. We have Indira Gandhi, who is India's third and only woman president. We have Zsa Gabor, socialite actress. Olivia de Havilland, who was a classic Hollywood actress and Gone with the Wind, lots of other movies. And lived till 104. We also have Joan Fontaine, who is her sister, who was born in 1917, but they have the same Uranus and were often sort of compared to each other, or they had a rivalry in the golden age of Hollywood. Yehudi Menuhin, who is a American-born violinist and conductor, born in 1916, as I said before, considered one of the greatest violinists of the 20th century. So that string instrument talent here played the Soil Stradivarius, one of the finest violins ever made. Also, musical talent in this degree is Thelonious Monk and Dizzy Gillespie, two, you know, amazing jazz performers, writers, composers. Ferruccio Lamborghini, involved in, you know, the Lamborghini business, I guess. Glenn Ford, an actor in The Big Heat, Blackbird Jungle. We have some 2001 babies. We have Celine Dion's kid, Renee Charles Angelini Dion. We have Ella Blue Travolta, which I guess is John Travolta's kids. We have Halle Bailey, Jackie Evancho singer. And then we have some from previous Uranus visits. We have Pierre-Simone Laplace, a French scholar and polymath born in 1749. Edward the Black Prince, or also known as Edward of Woodstock, born in 1330, who is the eldest son of King Edward III, and he died before his father, so his son, Richard, the next son, Richard II, succeeded the throne instead. Okay, Neptune at this degree. So this most recently happened in 2006. So we have Shiloh Novell Jolie Pitt, Brad Pitt, Brad and Angelina's kid, Suri Cruz, another famous celebrity kid, Bernadette de Sobrios, and she was born in 1844, and she was known as Saint Bernadette of Lourdes, and was the firstborn daughter of a miller from Lourdes, who then saw a vision of the Virgin Mary, you know, Our Lady of Lourdes, that is a Marian apparition. Catholics believe that Bernadette Sobria's body has remained internally incorrupt. So she's been sort of like a saint. And here's this like divine message of peace, right? A Marian apparition. Also, Teresa of Avila, who was born in March 15 of 15, was also called Saint Teresa of Jesus, was a Spanish noblewoman called to the convent life in the Catholic Church. She was a Carmelite nun, a prominent Spanish mystic, religious reformer, author, theologian, and she earned the rare distinction of being declared a doctor of the Church. Her written contributions include her autobiography, her seminal work, The Interior Castle, and they are today part an integral part of Spanish Renaissance literature. And there is a painting of her, I believe, done by her brother, who was living in Peru. I'd have to look that up again. She is praying before a white dove appearing before her, and she's in the whole nun get up. So that's quite on the nose there. We also have Philip Neri, who is born in 1515, who was an Italian priest known as the Second Apostle of Rome. And we have Robert Koch, or Koch, who is a German, born in 1843, a German physician and microbiologist, discoverer of tuberculosis and cholera. Though the bacterium, so he did research. I mean, there's other scientists that worked on this, but he was a huge figure in this. He also discovered anthrax. He is regarded as one of the main founders of modern bacteriology. And he is nicknamed the father of microbiology along with Louis Pasteur. And his discovery directly provided proofs for the germ theory of diseases. So again, this like little thing that can have a big influence, microscopic, subtle, seemingly invisible, this message of bacteria, that seems like that tracks with this, this imagery. We also have Jules Massenet, who is a French composer of the Romantic era, and Adelina Patti, who is a Italian 19th century opera singer, and Arthur Sullivan, who is an English composer, best known for the HMS Pinafore, the Pirates of Penzance, and the Mikado. I think the movie Topsy Turvy is like a period piece in there. They're creating the Mikado, that sort of Japanese craze in the late 19th century, that orientalist craze of all things Japanese, which is kind of a funny, delightful period piece. Okay, Pluto, the Aquarius 20. So we have Hadrian, who is a Roman emperor from 117 to 138. Hadrian traveled greatly among the Roman Empire, and he wasn't there to battle. He wasn't there to wage war. He went to see all the different provinces of civilized people. It was an established empire at that point. And he sort of represents like an empire that was at like an emperor that reigned over the largest area of the Roman Empire. Really, it's like the biggest it ever got. If you're an English speaker, which if you're listening to this, of course you are, you're probably familiar with Hadrian's Wall in England, which was sort of this barrier wall halfway through England to separate Romans from the barbarians, right? The Scottish people and the Celtic tribes above the wall. And it sort of was like this, wasn't really so much to keep them away. I guess it probably helped, but it was a little bit of a demarcation of like, this is the high watermark of the Roman Empire. This is as far as we get, and we're good with this. This is where we're putting down the rocks. The stone wall. Also, Juan Alvarez Mendizabal, or born Juan Alvarez Mendez, in 1790, was a Spanish economist and politician. And we also have Admiral Sir James Stirling, who was born in 1791, a Scottish naval officer and a colonial administrator. He traveled to Australia, established Swan River Colony, and he led a genocidal attack on 70 Binjareb men, women, and children, now known as the Pinjarra Massacre. Franz Seraphis Grill Parzer, born in 1791, an Austrian writer who was the leading Austrian dramatist of the 19th century. He wrote the oration for Beethoven's funeral. Henry Stuart, Lord Darnley, was born with Pluto here in 1546. He was an English nobleman who was the second husband of Mary, Queen of Scots, and father of James VI of Scotland and the James I of England, same person. Nicola Vaccai was an Italian composer with Pluto here, and Jacques-Étienne Victor Arago, a French writer, artist, and explorer, author of Voyage Around the World. Interesting, the Voyage Around the World and like the largest extant of Hadrian that traveled all around to every province of the Roman Empire. It seems like this very Aquarian thing. I want to see it all. I want the overview. I want the bird's eye view. I want to see what people everywhere are doing. Okay, North Node, Aquarius, the 20th degree of Aquarius. We have Sharon Osbourne, Ajith Kumar, Tamil actor, Jean-Michel Folon, a Belgian artist, illustrator, painter, and sculptor, Paco Rabanne. He started a career in fashion, creating jewelry for Givenchy, Dior, Balenciaga, and he founded his own fashion house in 1966. Presented in 1966 manifesto 12 Unwearable Dresses in Contemporary Materials. So he liked to use unconventional materials such as metal, plastic, paper, with outlandish flamboyant designs. He made the green outfit that Jane Fonda wears in Barbarella, and Francois Hardy was a big fan of his designs. Also, Damon Anthony Dash, who's an entrepreneur, record executive, a business partner of Jay-Z. Pierre de Ronsard has a North Node here, who is a French poet, called him the Prince of Poets. He was born in 1524. Bill Russell, one of the greatest basketball players, has a Saturn North Node conjunction here. Les Paul, the guy that basically invented the electric guitar, really interesting chart there. Ralph Nader had his North Node here, a very idealistic, utopian politician fighting for rights. He's the reason why seatbelts are mandatory on on Cars. George Segal, Florence Henderson, Hank Aaron, and Tom Baker, who was one of the Doctor Who's, one of the favorite ones. Okay, the ascendant at Aquarius, the 20th degrees of Aquarius. Okay, the ascendant changes every 4 minutes. These might not be 100% accurate, but if anyone catches your fancy, you know, go look up their chart, see the Rodden rating, check it out. Check out the, so we have Whoopi Goldberg, Weird Al Yankovic, Newt Gingrich, Gabriel Byrne, George Takei, and the American founding father, James Monroe. So that's an interesting group of people. Let's, you know, make a band out of those people. And that's it for the Aquarius 20th episode. And have a good full moon, and see you next time around. Bye.